Let's again turn our attention to the book of Acts as we continue our series, Acts of the Spirit. And last week, Joseph preached from Acts chapter 10 about the Cornelius calling of devotion, generosity, and prayer, and how these beautiful acts of worship and sacrifice rise up before God. And today we're going to stay in chapter 10 and also expand into chapter 11, taking a look at the bigger picture story, this pivotal moment in how the gospel, the good news of Jesus, spreads outward to every nation and to all people. And I actually want to start in Acts chapter 11. You can turn there now. We have Bibles at the back for you to borrow or to keep as our gift to you. And what happens in Acts chapter 11? It's actually a summary, a restatement of the events that happen in chapter 10. It's a summary, but with a twist. Because we see in Acts 11 verses 2 and 3 that Peter is on the hot seat. You did what? You ate with Gentiles? That's not right. You shouldn't have done that. That doesn't fit our understanding of God. What were you thinking? But then Peter explains what has happened, how God, through his Spirit, has moved, has revealed more of himself, has opened a new door. So I invite you to stand, if you're able, for the reading of God's word. And we'll be reading Acts chapter 11, verses 4 to 18. Starting from the beginning, Peter told them the whole story. I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision. I saw something like a large sheet being let down from heaven by its four corners, and it came down to where I was. I looked into it and saw four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, reptiles, and birds. Then I heard a voice telling me, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat." I replied, "Surely not, Lord. Nothing impure or unclean has ever entered my mouth." The voice spoke from heaven a second time, "Do not call anything impure that God has made clean." This happened three times, and then it was all pulled up to heaven again. Right then, three men who had been sent to me from Caesarea stopped at the house where I was staying. The Spirit told me to have no hesitation about going with them. These six brothers also went with me, and we entered the man's house. He told us how he had seen an angel appear in his house and say, "Send to Joppa for Simon, who is called Peter. He will bring you a message through which you and all your household will be saved." As I began to speak, the Holy Spirit came on them as he had come on us at the beginning. Then I remembered what the Lord had said, "John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." So if God gave them the same gift he gave us who believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I to think that I could stand in God's way? When they heard this, they had no further objections and praised God, saying, "So then, even to Gentiles, God has granted repentance that leads to life." This is the word of the Lord. You may be seated. I've called this message, "Jesus is for all, Jesus is for you. And both statements are true and powerful. Jesus is for all. Jesus is for you. And I don't think we've done this for a while, so I came up with some alternate message titles. Here we go. Try a few one out on you. The first one is Petey and Corny, BFFs. Okay, another one. Say what? Okay, one final attempt. Put some meat in a sheet and go ahead and eat. Every tribe can ascribe to the gospel that's alive. Okay. You know what, though? I think we'll just stick with Jesus is for all. Jesus is for you. So let's look at the truth that Jesus is for all. This passage in Acts, the events in the lives of Peter, Cornelius, and others mark a radical shift in understanding, an expansion of the gospel message that would impact the rest of history. The gospel, the good news message about the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, forgiveness of sins, restored relationship with God, abundant and eternal life in Jesus. It's for all. Jesus is for Jews, like Peter, and Jesus is also for Gentiles, like Cornelius and his household. This is a groundbreaking moment, an irrepressible move of the Spirit. Barriers are being torn down. God loves the world. Jesus is for everyone. Everyone and each one. Not just a select few. Not just a handful of those who are somehow deemed worthy. Because the truth is that we all come to the cross of Christ as sinners in need of a Savior. And through Jesus, God takes the broken and makes them whole. In Jesus, the unclean become clean, the unworthy worthy. Lives are transformed through the power of God's Spirit in the name of Jesus Christ. In the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 12, we read, "Yet to all who did receive him," that's Jesus, "he gave the right to become children of God." God does not show favoritism. Jesus is for all. And Peter realizes this. He and others, they didn't understand this at first. It required a move of God's Spirit. But Peter comes to realize that Jesus is for all. As Peter preaches the message of Jesus Christ, he witnesses the Holy Spirit being poured out on Gentiles, on those that previously he had been taught not to associate with, not to eat with. They are the ones speaking in tongues. They are the ones praising God. For Peter and the other circumcised believers, it is an astonishing moment. I'd like to point out that although Peter and others were astonished and saw this as something new, this was clearly God's plan all along. In the Old Testament, Genesis 22:18, the Lord speaks to Abraham and promises that all nations will be blessed through his offspring. Isaiah 49, verse 6, speaks of a light for the Gentiles. God's salvation reaching the ends of the earth. And in the New Testament, the words recorded in Luke chapter 2, 29 to 32, are spoken by Simeon as he holds the child Jesus in his arms. Jesus, God's salvation for all nations. Matthew 28, Jesus himself, after his death and resurrection, instructs his followers to make disciples. What does it say? Of one nation? That's right. Not two or three. All nations. Jesus proclaims his authority and says, therefore, go make disciples of all nations. Jesus is for all. What applications can we draw? How can we apply this to our lives? I have a few thoughts for you this morning. Is it possible that you or I think there's a group of people that somehow don't deserve Jesus? That somehow they're out of God's reach? Well, that's just not true. We must repent, turn away if we have that kind of thinking. Jesus is for all people, some completely different from ourselves. Another application might be that perhaps God is calling you to something new through his Spirit, to go, to share the love of Jesus in a fresh, exciting way. Maybe it's something new for you here in our community. Or maybe God is calling you to go to a different country, another nation, maybe for a short time or a longer time. Allow God to astonish you. For me, it was about 9 years ago when I first felt God calling me, compelling me through his Spirit to make a radical shift in what I was doing. When God calls you to something new, step out in faith, with wisdom, walk in step with the Spirit. Or maybe it isn't something new. Perhaps God is calling you to keep on doing what you are doing, to be strong and courageous, standing in his power. Walk in step with the Spirit. Or perhaps God is working in your heart. Maybe you've been thinking, Jesus isn't for a person like me. Well, he is. Jesus is for you. You have all these arguments in your head about why it wouldn't work for you and Jesus. But those arguments are just not true. Jesus is for you. And you can ask him into your heart today if you haven't done that and follow him. There is a centrality to Jesus in this story, in all stories, in your story. We read that Cornelius was devout and God-fearing. He gave generously to those in need and prayed to God regularly, Acts 10, verse 2. And God was pleased with this. This was a fragrant offering. Yet there was still something missing in the life of Cornelius. Something else was needed, something more that Cornelius didn't have. God knew. God knew what was missing in the life of Cornelius, and God reached out. God moved. God sent an angel to speak to Cornelius with instructions to send for a man named Simon, who is called Peter. And when you read through all of Acts chapter 10, you see how God moves. It's amazing in different people's lives and how the events unfold and details are repeated. God instructs Cornelius to send for Peter to bring a message because God understands that Cornelius is missing the most important thing. Even the devotion, generosity, and prayers of the God-fearing Cornelius are not enough. They're not wrong. They're beautiful. They are part of the story. But still, there's something else needed, a missing peace. And Cornelius knows this too. And before Peter arrives, Cornelius is ready. He's waiting. Acts 10:24, he's expecting. He's assembled a full household, relatives, close friends. It's a beautiful picture of someone who is hungry for the truth, hungry for life to the full. Cornelius is waiting for a message through which he and all his household will be saved. And what is the message? What is that missing piece? For Cornelius, for all, for you. In a word, Jesus. It's Jesus. Through the Holy Spirit and through His Word, God reveals Himself to us. The Bible is a unified story that leads to Jesus. The missing piece, the center of the story, is Jesus. And I love the wording in the Jesus Storybook Bible. I know that Parsnip Paul would also agree. That's a Bible Day Camp reference. You can talk to me about that after if you need to. From the Jesus Storybook Bible, there are lots of stories in the Bible, but all the stories are telling one big story, the story of how God loves His children. And He comes to rescue them. And Jesus came to love and rescue. And I'd like to read what Peter spoke through the Spirit to Cornelius and Cornelius's household. It's from Acts chapter 10. You can stay seated. Acts chapter 10, verse 36 to 43. Say, come, Holy Spirit. You know the message God sent to the people of Israel, announcing the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. You know what has happened throughout the province of Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, how He went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with Him. We are witnesses of everything He did in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They killed Him by hanging Him on a cross, but God raised Him from the dead on the third day and caused Him to be seen. He was not seen by all the people, but by witnesses whom God had already chosen, by us who ate and drank with Him after He rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one whom God appointed as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. And the next verse, 44, says, while Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. God moved. God moved in power. God moved in a surprising way. God moved in the life of Cornelius, in the household of Cornelius, household salvation. And God moved in the life of Peter through the vision, through the Spirit saying, go with these men. Don't hesitate. God revealed more of himself to Peter. God moved, revealing without question that Jesus is for all. And God moves today. Here, now, God will move. God will move this afternoon. God will move this evening, tomorrow, each day, every day. Jesus is for you. Will you be for Jesus? Let's pray together. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Thank you. Just you are so kind. Thank you that you care about us so much, that you reached out in love, that your heart is for everyone, for each one. Father, I just ask that you transform us, that you impress that upon our hearts, that we would also be for each and every one. Lord, that you would fill us with kindness and compassion and humility and the ability to listen. And most of all, we ask that we would follow you, that you would fill us with your Spirit. We thank you for your presence and for the wonderful love of Jesus Christ. And it's in his name that we pray. Amen.